If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I wonder, would you turn with me, please, in God's Word to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnestness of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word this morning. Since knowing for quite some time that I have been coming to Lisburn, and over these past weeks I have been seeking God's face for the message for the church this morning, I must admit that as I went through what I want to say this morning to you, it was a challenge to my life personally, And I trust this morning that what I have to say to you may be a challenge to each and every one of us today. What I want to say in this morning is something different from what I have ever preached on before. And yet I believe it's what God would want me to say this morning to each and every one of us. Back in the Gospels, we read that when the Lord Jesus Christ started his earthly ministry, he called 12 men to be his disciples. The words that it says in the Word of God, that as he went before each of them, he said to them, "Leave all that you have, come and follow me." I have tried to think of these people, and they must have been a very privileged 12 men. Because as they would walk each day, as they would talk each day, as they would eat and sleep each night, they would be in the presence of the Son of God. And as we look at these men, we can see that they all come from different backgrounds. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to call them, some of these were rough, hardened fishermen from around the coasts of Galilee. Very few of them were learned men. Probably some of them had no education. And I am sure in their diction and in their way of speaking, it wouldn't have been very professional. But the Lord Jesus Christ said to these 12 men that they would receive power from above, and that they would be able to go out into the world and do things for Jesus Christ. Can you imagine this morning what it must have been like to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus day after day and listen to his ministry? Listen to the words of Jesus as he spoke to his disciples. This is what he said to them in Matthew 5 and verse 13. "Ye are the salt of the earth." And that simply meant this, that they were the salt. They were to go out and live in a world where there was corruption. They were going out into a world where evil abounded on every hand. But wherever they were going, they were to be the salt of the earth. They were to be the purifying things. The way that they lived their life, the way they spoke, the way that they acted, was to portray the life of Jesus Christ. He also said to them, "Ye are the light of the world. And where there are darkness, let your light shine so that others might see." Jesus was an encouragement to these men to follow him. As they had watched him, they were to be an example of Christ. But he also told them in the Word of God and warned them that this was not going to be an easy life. There were days ahead when they were going to have to face trouble and strife. There was days ahead whenever they were going to be on their own, as it were, because he had said to them, "I'm going to leave you. I'm going back to my Father in heaven. I have finished the work here that he has given me to do." And he says, "You're going to be on your own in a way, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that he might work with you." But he also said to them that he would send them power, as I've already said. And his commission to them was simply this: go into all the world and preach the gospel. That commission has never changed. That commission is still the same today as it was for those 12 disciples. It's still the same message for each one of us today. Not all of us can leave our home and our family and go to foreign parts. Not all of us have the talent of preaching or teaching. But I believe that in many ways God has given every one of us talents, and God expects us to use them. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, it's not going to be easy, because if you read the Old Testament, you'll find that when the prophets were with God and God had told the prophets what he wanted them to do, time and time again the prophets came under persecution from those that they lived with. And Jesus himself even spoke to the people, and he says, "They have persecuted me." they will persecute you also. And so as they listened to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure for many of them, they wondered what life held for them. Because in many occasions they would probably suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. There would be people who would think all manner of evil against them. There would be people who would seek to destroy them. And we know that for some of them they were put in prison. For others they had some terrible deaths. But the Lord Jesus Christ had given them this promise: I will never leave you nor forsake you. I wonder today, if the Lord Jesus Christ were on this platform instead of me, and he gave you the job description that he gave to his disciples and told them of all the things that were going to happen, I wonder how many of us would stand up to the front and say, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to do it. And yet, my friend, that is what happens today. God challenges us each day that we live, that we need to live that day for his glory and the extension of his kingdom. I don't know about your secretary, but I'm the secretary of our church, and there's more stuff comes through my letterbox than I can cope with. And many of it is from missionaries and missionary societies around the world. But you know, there are a couple of books that come through my door, and I just sit down and I read them. They're supposed to be prayer calendars for the month, but I would read them through them each as soon as I would get them. And you know, there are days when I sit and read them and the tears would run down my cheeks as I listen or as I read about my brothers and sisters in Christ around this world who know what it is to be persecuted, who know what it is to have their father taken out and shot, who know what it is to have their family broken up, their home burnt to a cinder as they stand and watch it, just because they love the Lord. That lives with me every day as I think of those who know what it is to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. One of our missionaries came home lately from Vietnam and told us that the students that had come from North Vietnam, some of them had cycled, some of them had come by bus in different ways, but they had spent a solid week, night and day, traveling from North Vietnam to South Vietnam to learn about the Word of God so that they could go back and tell others about Jesus Christ. And they said that because they were left their village for 3 weeks, the authorities were waiting on them when they come back. Where were you? What were you doing? Why were you there? And asking these questions. And as soon as they mentioned the name of Jesus Christ, their little homes were petrol bombed, burnt to a cinder, nowhere to live. But the one thing he said to me was this: they were determined to work on for Christ. Friends, this morning, what a privileged people we are today. And the freedom that we have. But this was the condition that Jesus sent out his disciples. I know that there are many people who suffer sickness and disease, and I would not in any way make light of that this morning. But to be an outcast, to be someone who is put in prison, to someone who has lost everything, just because they love the Lord. How smug we are at times in our attitude to the things of God. How did these men fare? How did these disciples do in life? Well, we know that for some of them, it didn't last too long because Judas was more fond of money than he was of the love of Christ. We know that Thomas was one who doubted the Savior and had to be proven to him that Jesus Christ had risen. Peter, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can see that whenever these men were on their own, they were vulnerable. But nevertheless, Christ had always promised to be with them. We read in Acts chapter 7 that Stephen was stoned to death because he loved the Lord. We read in Acts 12 that Herod had taken James and he had killed him with a sword. He had put Peter in prison, and it was idea that he would do away with Peter. But God stepped in and Peter was set free. You know, as I travel sometimes over into the land of Scotland, I don't know whether you've ever been there or not, but if you're ever there, go up to that town of St. Andrews. And in that town, you will see up on the cliffs just outside the city, there's a monument there. And the monument reminds you of the people who loved the Lord Jesus Christ in Scotland. And because they loved the Lord Jesus Christ, the families were taken out and there were stakes driven into the sand. And they were driven at different distances out into the sea. And the parents would have been put on the first ones and the children out further. And as the tide came in, the children would be drowned. Deny Jesus Christ and we'll set you free. But they didn't. And that monument in St. Andrews is there today to the glory of God for people who stood up for Jesus Christ. If you travel down the M75 down into Galashiels, you'll see many of these statues and monuments throughout the land where people gave their lives for Jesus Christ. You know, there's one person that amazes me, and I know when I get to heaven, we're going to be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's one person I'm really looking forward to meeting, and that's the Apostle Paul. This man amazed me. He amazes me every time I read the Word of God, and this is where I want to get to this morning, is what we have read in 2 Corinthians 5 this morning. The Apostle Paul, who was the persecutor of Christians, and how did Jesus Christ come into his life and he became the greatest preacher that ever was. How that the man who was a murderer became a missionary and went into all the world and he preached the gospel. Paul has a great background, a great family history of the type of person he was, but yet of all, Paul knew that there was something, or Saul knew there was something missing in his life, and that day that he met Jesus Christ, there was two things that happened that made all the difference. One, I have no doubt that he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. But the second was this, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And I am convinced that from that moment on, Paul's life was dedicated to the service of Jesus Christ. You know, as Paul went through his life, there were many things that he said, but one thing that he said, and we quote it in the scriptures, I am determined to know nothing amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Paul lived his life in the fact that he knew that Jesus Christ was coming back again. And he needed to tell others and witness to others of their great need. You know, I'm convinced that there was the first thing that motivated Paul was this. His fear of God. Listen to what it says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. You see, Paul wasn't afraid to meet God because, like all the rest of us, it wasn't for his sins. His sins had been dealt with at Calvary. Our sins were dealt when the Lord Jesus Christ died on that center cross. They're forgiven. As far as God is concerned, they're forgotten. They're cast into the deepest sea. As far as the east is from the west, it cannot be found. That's where our sins are. But friend, this morning, we're going to give an account of how we have lived our life for Jesus Christ. For the deeds in the body. For the opportunities that we have had and rejected them. for the things that we should have done and we didn't do. The things that we did do and we shouldn't have. And I am convinced that this was something that motivated Paul in his life. Was he realized there was a day coming when he would stand before God and give an account of all that he had done. I remember as a young boy, my parents went to the Brethren, and there was a man came to preach in our church by the name of Frank Knox. I'm sure many know him. And I remember Frank Knox saying this, and as a young boy, it struck terror into me. He said to me that he said, there was one thing I am not looking forward to, and it's standing before God. And I thought to myself, if Frank Knox is fearing standing before God, what ought I to be? Because he was a man of God. And this morning, my friend, I want to challenge you this morning. What are you doing for Jesus Christ with your life? Remembering this, that you will stand before God and give that account. Not only that motivated him, but I am convinced that also it was the love of God that motivated Paul. And as I sat this week thinking of this, I think of all the things that Jesus Christ went through for me. How at the hands of wicked men he suffered beyond belief. Isaiah said his body was more marred, his visage was more marred than any man's. Every part of his body received injuries that's possible to a human body. They spat on his face, they pulled the hairs from his cheeks. And God allowed his beloved son to go through this just so that I could be redeemed. And well might the hymn writer say that the love of God is beyond human comprehension. One of the verses, or one of the passages of Scripture that I read time and time again, it's where the Lord Jesus Christ is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Did you remember that he left his disciples and he walked away a bit further, and it says he began to be exceedingly sorrowful. And I try in my simple mind to think of what Jesus Christ was going through. What was going through his mind? Well, I know that to bear away my sins, it must have been very heavy. What must it have been to bear the sins of the world? What must it have been to have bowed there at that tree or wherever it was, and to realize that all that was going to happen to him over the next 24 hours, he had planned it with his Father. He knew what lay before him. And yet because of me, he went through with it. What love. What boundless love. And this is what motivated Paul when he thought of what Christ had done for him. What else can I do? I count all things but dung that I might win them for Christ. And that's what motivated him. There were many things that Paul received from Jesus Christ. But this morning, my friend, I want to ask you this simple question. Are you more interested in the things that you have? Does your home and the things that are around you mean more to you? Realizing this, my friend, that there's a day coming when you leave it all behind you. It is better, as the writer in the Word of God says this, it is better to lay up treasure in heaven. Because at the end of the day, what is it going to be? Precious stones, gold and silver, or hay, wood and stubble. Oh, this morning I trust that God will speak to our hearts. And as I finish with this, I believe that what motivated Paul was God's commission. Paul, you have the ministry of reconciliation. You have the good news that men and women need to hear. And it's your responsibility to get out there and tell them about the love of God and about what Christ has done for them and win them for Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced that this is what also motivated Paul. He realized, as it says in verse 20, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We are somebody who represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to live our lives in such a way that others may see Christ in us. With this I close this morning. A very simple question. What motivates you in the work of God? What motivates you in the work of God? As I close, I think of the words in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. When Jesus is standing outside the door of the church of Laodicea, he's not looking for a church. He's looking for individual people. Listen to what he says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. We often preach this in the gospel, but friends, this is for the church of Laodicea. This is for the church of today. The commission that Jesus gave to his 12 disciples all those years ago is the same commission for today. I trust that these very stammering remarks this evening, you may take them home with you. But constantly you might ask yourself this one question. What is it that motivates me in the work of Christ? And I trust that you may know God's blessing on your life in the days that lie ahead. Thank you for listening.